A recent trip to the southeast brought me from the high plains to the coastal plains around the area of Charleston, South Carolina. Though we were a bit early for the famous spring flowering of that area, I was able to keep myself botanically sated with a couple of visits to wildlife and nature areas and a walking tour of the historic Old Town and Harbor of Charleston. At Washington Square, my tour guide pointed out the huge old southern live oaks with their magnificent trunks and sprawling limbs, which sport green leaves year-round, dropping one set of foliage, which is quickly replaced by a second setting of greenery. He also commented on the lack of Spanish moss, the silvery gray, wispy masses that hang from most of the live oaks in the region. Tillandsia usneoides is not a true moss, but rather is more closely related to the pineapple and other bromeliads. Lacking roots of its own, it's an epiphyte, growing on the surface of trees and other plants that provide mechanical support but no nutrients to these air plants. Epiphytes absorb water and food from the air directly through their stems and leaves. The overall range of Spanish moss is from coastal Virginia to Argentina, and it thrives in areas that sport mild temperatures, abundant rainfall, and humidity. Native Americans called the plant tree hair, and the French explorers dubbed it Spanish beard to insult their bitter rivals in the New World. Another common name is graybeard, from the legend that a bearded brute chased an Indian maiden to the top of a tree in the coastal Lowcountry. When the girl dove into the water to escape, the villain's beard got entangled in the tree's branches and he perished, leaving only his gray beard on the limbs. Spanish moss has long been a part of the botanical image of the American South, but its use as an element of industry is not as well known. Early day usage included mixing it with mud to caulk cabins or drying it to use as kindling. Because it retains moisture so well, it has always made an excellent mulch for the many gardens of the Sea Islands area. In the early 1900s, the moss was harvested, dried, and baled for use in stuffing furniture. Henry Ford stuffed the seats of his first Model Ts with dried Spanish moss, but my tour guide related that Mr. Ford's first efforts were a failure, as his factory used moss that had been gathered from the ground, thus transporting healthy crops of chiggers that bit the posteriors of the passengers. Henceforth, harvesting was done with long poles to collect relatively insect-free moss from tree limbs rather than the ground. Herbalists have been known to brew the moss as a tea to relieve rheumatism and birth pains. It has also provided a litmus test of air pollution, as samples gathered along major highways have showed high concentrations of lead and other chemicals from automobile exhaust. This brings me back to the opening of this piece, when I was shown an absence of Spanish moss in Charleston's Washington Square. Seems this is a major stopping point for big tour buses that line the area and idle their engines to keep the air-conditioned buses cool while tourists take a turn around the square. Perhaps Spanish moss, this botanical trademark of the Old South and its past, is trying to tell us something about our future, with its absence from the graceful branches of century-old trees. Some information used in the writing of this story was collected from the Beaufort County Library website.